Good morning. I'm thankful that each and every one of you are here and that we have the opportunity today to worship together, to worship God in spirit and truth. I know many are perhaps a little tired from the camp out. Many of you went to the camp out at Quiver River, and for those that went, we had a good time. A little bit of rain, but we made it through. A little bit of coldness, but we survived, didn't we? And so we're going to make sure to move quickly through the sermon, move quickly through the outline so you stay awake, because no doubt you stayed up way too late roasting marshmallows and eating s'mores. So I'm jealous of that. But we're talking about today, we've been working our way through the book of Acts, talking about being one by one, you know, just one interaction with someone, one kind word, one gesture of love. One positive influence in your life is perhaps something that changes something in you. And as I was thinking about this section in Acts chapter 18, we have a person who is a very mighty person. We learn and are introduced to the person of Apollos. In the book of Acts, you're going to see where... Okay, maybe we can get that. Technical difficulty, sorry about that. In the book of Acts, one of the styles that Luke will use to write, he's going to mention something and then shift away from it and talk about it later and then come back to it. Through the book of Acts, he's done it numerous times. He'll mention something and then come back to it later. In Acts chapter 9, he'll mention Saul, who we later know as Paul, but Saul will be introduced to us in his conversion, and then we don't hear about him for a few more chapters, and then in chapter 13, it seems like it's all about Saul, or Paul at that point. Here, in Acts chapter 18, we are introduced to the person of Apollos, who we get this introduction, and then in Acts chapter 19, he shifts away from talking about Apollos, and then we'll come back to Apollos and talk about him more. You know, the thing is, Paul is going to be in Acts chapter 18. He's been going to different places, and he's been seeing a lot of people. And one of the people that he's going to meet is Apollos, but at this point, he's traveling with Priscilla and Aquila, and Paul leaves them somewhere. And Paul goes away, and he's going to come back and now meet Apollos. And while Paul is away, we're introduced to this person of Apollos, and we find out something about what he's teaching and about what he's preaching. And Apollos is one of those that is a very mighty person. In fact, in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, it describes him as being mighty in the scriptures. So I just kind of use that as my jumping off point. My point is this: there's a lot of people that you probably look up to. There's a lot of people that probably had a big impact in your life. And there's a lot of people that you can turn to for help when you need help. A lot of those people are here this morning that are in your life. The point is, when we look at Paul, we see someone who is busy about the work, but he goes away for a little bit, and then he comes back. And so Priscilla and Aquila kind of step up. And they're also mighty in their help to Apollos. You know, when we think about what happens when we're gone, Paul goes away, he leaves Priscilla and Aquila, and sometimes when you're away, bad things happen, right? Hunter, is that Chewy? I don't know. That's not Chewy, actually, but it looks an awful lot like Chewy. But sometimes you go away and dogs can do bad things in your house while you're gone. You know, when you're gone, unfortunately, difficult things can happen. I don't know, is that Ranger? I don't know what's going on there. But dogs can be ones that don't like that separation. The separation anxiety can overwhelm them and get to them. It's not just happening to dogs. I don't know, is that Emmett or Wyatt? I'm not sure. But you know, sometimes when we turn our heads just for a second, this parent had turned their heads and the kid got a hold of flour and dumped it all over the house and all over their own heads. I think it's funny that he's wearing a striped, you know, black and white. Like, I'm going to do this because I know I'm going to be in big trouble afterwards. But it's so fun. You know, when Paul goes away, he leaves Priscilla and Aquila, and he wants to know, what kind of people will they be? Will they be busy doing the Lord's work? Isn't that what Jesus says? He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus returns, will we be doing the things that we're supposed to be doing? Perhaps there's been times where you thought, you know, if Jesus came back right now, I wouldn't be happy with what I just said, what I just did, or where I'm at. And perhaps those are things that cause us to think. What happens when Jesus does come back? Will he find us busy doing his work? Will he find us full of faith? Will he find us doing what we're supposed to be doing? You know, when we look at Paul and what he had done, now we won't take time to read all of this, but this is just kind of setting up how Paul had gone away and then he came back. Paul came to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. They were fellow tent makers. Paul was a tent maker, so he kind of worked with them. Paul had come to Ephesus and brought with him Priscilla and Aquila. But in verse 19, Paul goes away from Ephesus. He goes away from Ephesus, but leaves them there. And as Paul leaves them there, Paul goes to Jerusalem, probably at this time. If you look in 1 Corinthians, it's probably at this time that there was a difficulty in Jerusalem where not many people had food. And Paul goes to Jerusalem probably with a collection of money to help some of the poor Christians there. Notice it says in verse 22, Paul had gone up. Traditionally, Jerusalem is a very high elevation, and it's probably where Paul went. He went to Jerusalem, and then Paul comes back to Antioch. Now, in your Bible, you don't have to, but I do this in my Bible. I drew a line right under verse 22 out to the side. Because at the end of verse 22 of chapter 18, that's the end of Paul's second missionary journey. Then starting right in verse 23 is the start of Paul's third missionary journey. So it happens very quickly. Paul had started in Antioch. He goes out, he teaches, he preaches, he comes back, he leaves Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus. He goes down to Jerusalem, he comes back up to Antioch. He gives a report of the work that he had done. And then in verse 23, Paul goes out again. Okay? And so Paul goes to Antioch, which ends Paul's second missionary journey. But in verse 23, he turns right around and he knows we've got to be busy. We've got to be doing the Lord's work. And so he turns right around and he leaves Antioch again for his third missionary journey. But verses 24 through 28, we discover what happens in this town called Ephesus while Paul is gone. He goes to Jerusalem, he goes to Antioch, but he's going to come back to Ephesus. We learn in verses 24 through 28 what happens while Paul was gone. Okay? And we're going to be introduced to this person named Apollos. Read with me verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. Who's already in Ephesus? Priscilla and Aquila. So you have this man who is described in a lot of ways. It says first in verse 24, he was born at Alexandria. Now he had probably a great education because he can talk eloquently. He had a great education. Alexandria was the educational center of the world at this time. Alexandria is in North Africa. And we learn about Apollos, he had probably had a very good education. In fact, it was home to the largest library in the world at the time, 700,000 volumes. You know, you can store that, more than that on your phone now, which is amazing. There, 700,000 volumes of books was the biggest in the world. And it was stored in Alexandria. So it was the center of education. Alexandria is also where there were a lot of Jews that lived there. And they were the ones that took the Hebrew Old Testament and translated it into the Greek language. And of course, the Greek language is what the Romans used at the time. And the Romans pretty much were in every part of the world at that time. They were in control, really, of the known world at that time. And so you have this man named Apollos. He probably had a great education. In fact, as he was familiar with the scriptures, this specifically refers to this Greek translation of the Old Testament, which Jesus actually quoted from. Luke chapter 4 and verse 21, there's lots of places we can mention, but the point is, Jesus quotes from and therefore approves that Greek translation. So now we understand by Jesus saying, well, it was in Hebrew, now it's in Greek, and I'm going to quote from this. Well, translations are valid. Translations are good. We just have to do a good job in the translation. There's translations you may have in your hand. Some of them are more word-for-word translations, and some of them are just more general thought-for-thought. We're just going to try to give you the thought. But we have here in Alexandria the Hebrew Old Testament translated into the Greek language, which we'd call the Septuagint. Okay, and Jesus quoted from that. So we have this man Apollos. He probably had a great education, and we know he was a great student of God's word. Look in verse 24. It says in verse 24, he was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. You know, one man had said, a preacher was standing up and quoting a few verses, and it was obvious that he knew the Bible very well. Someone came up to him afterwards and said, man, I would give half my life to know the Bible like you did. And he said, that's exactly what it took. It took half my life. I had to learn. You know, we can't just put our Bible under our pillow and think by osmosis it's going to get into our brain. We have to study it. We have to learn it. We have to read it. We have to grow close to it. And so Apollos was a great student. He knew the scriptures. He had spent time studying God's word. Look also in verse 25. It says, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Now, the way of the Lord, he knew something about Christianity. He knew something about Christianity, that the Old Testament was suggesting there was going to be a Savior. So he was a great student of scriptures. More about that later. Look also in verse 25. It says, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he was a great teacher. He knew how to teach the word of God. He knew how to teach the scriptures. Okay, this man had a lot of good qualities, and there are a lot of good people that you probably look up to. Well, this is someone we can look up to. A good person that we can look up to is someone who will be mighty in the scriptures. You know, unfortunately, on TV, they put forth what people look up to are those that make the most money, are the best at sports, or can sing or dance the best. That seems to be what people look up to. You know, those aren't always the best role models, are they? A good role model is someone who is mighty in the scriptures, who knows the Bible, who knows God's word. It doesn't matter how much money's in their bank account, what clothes they dress in, what car they drive. If they're mighty in the scriptures, that's a good role model. Here's another thing about Apollos that we can learn. He was a great student of God's word, but he also was mighty in spirit. Look in verse 25. It says, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit literally means to be boiling over. He was excited about God's word. He was fervent in spirit. If someone wanted to talk about God's word, he was willing to do it. And here we see him going into the synagogues and he's teaching, and Aquila and Priscilla are listening, but they hear there's something not quite right with what he's saying. More about that later. But when he's teaching, they see him teaching fervently. They see him teaching with excitement, and the scriptures to him are real. He's boiling over in his spirit. I read this and I thought it was appropriate. It said, knowledge without zeal condemns the teacher. Zeal without knowledge misleads the student. If you think about what that means, I think it's very profound. Because you can teach the right thing, but if you don't teach the scriptures and act like you believe it or will live by it, then what has it really done? And if you teach with a lot of zeal and enthusiasm, but you don't teach the scriptures, what have you really gained to those that you've taught? What have you added to them? He was fervent in spirit. He was also fervent in his speech. It says in verse 26, it says, he spoke and taught, and then he began to speak boldly. Verse 26 says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So he's someone that was very fervent in his spirit. He knew what the scriptures said, he knew what they meant, and he wanted to share it with other people. Also, he was fervent in his accuracy. Look in verse 26. Verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So what Apollos taught up to a point was very accurate. He knew the scriptures. He knew that Jesus would come. There would be a Savior. There would be a Christ. Now, he didn't quite know that it was actually Jesus who had died on the cross and raised from the dead. But he taught accurately the Word of God. But with Apollos, he was a great student. He had a good spirit. But also notice this. There are a lot of mighty qualities that he had, but he was also mighty wrong. Look in verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. He knew something. He knew a fragment, but he didn't have the whole story. He didn't have all the information. It says he knew the way of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that the way, when you look at the scriptures, it refers to Christianity? Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 19. He thought he knew about the Savior that came. He knew part of the information about Christ, but look, he only knew about the baptism of John. Verse 26. Now turn to chapter 19 and look at verse 3 and 4. Here's what knowing about the baptism of John means. Verse 3. Because Paul, remember I said that Luke will mention something and come back to it. So Luke mentions Ephesus. Now in chapter 19, he mentions Paul in Ephesus. And he finds some people in verse 3 and 4 that know about the baptism of John, and here's what that means. Verse 3. He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." You see, what they didn't know was that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one that was chosen by God, that died on the cross, was buried in a grave, and rose again on the third day. That Jesus is the Christ. They only knew the baptism of John. They didn't know that Christ had come. And so therefore, Apollos is teaching this, that we need to look for the Savior. We need to look for the Christ. And so Priscilla and Aquila, when they hear that this isn't quite accurate, they bring him aside and they teach him in a better way. So he knew a fragment, but he didn't know that he was wrong. We'll talk about this more later, but I love how Apollos reacts to being wrong. He didn't throw a fit. He didn't go kicking and screaming. He listened to what they had to say. He listened to the scriptures. I want to suggest this. Apollos was fervent. Apollos knew the scriptures. It is possible to be enthusiastic for God, but it is also possible to be in error, to be making a mistake in what we think we know and what the scriptures actually teach. Look, it's possible to be a preacher but still perishing. It's possible to be an instructor but still inaccurate. That's what Apollos was. It's possible to know the scriptures but not all of the scriptures and still be lost. When we look at Apollos, he didn't know he was wrong. He did not know the way of God. Look back at verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, in the synagogue, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Apollos had good foundation. He had good information, but he didn't have all the information. He needed more information. And so that's what Priscilla and Aquila do. They bring him aside. And though he was a mighty person and mighty in the scriptures, he was mighty wrong. Here you see an Apollos, someone who loved God and was preaching about God and trying to bring people to God. But if you didn't preach and teach accurately, you're doing it wrong. You see, John, in John's baptism, John died before Jesus promised to build the church. John the Baptist, John the Immerser, baptized people to look forward to Christ coming, look forward to the death of Christ, look forward, and Jesus is saying, I will build my kingdom, which is the church. John died before Jesus ever promised the kingdom. John died before Jesus purchased the church with his blood. And so John's baptism was good, but it wasn't accurate at the point where Christ came and began his ministry. You see, John died before Jesus established his church. So why would we today go back and say, well, let's be part of John's baptism. Let's be part of John the Baptist. Some just shorten that to say Baptists. We want to just do what we see in the scripture. Here we see Apollos. He was so mighty, but it's possible to be mighty wrong. John's baptism had been replaced by Jesus. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, commanding them to teach all that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' baptism, the one that Jesus spoke about, is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, the one baptism that we do read about in the Bible. One thing I love about Apollos in verse 26, when he is corrected, he was mighty humble. In verse 26, it says, they took him aside. This wasn't a public debate where they talked over the top of each other and the moderator couldn't control. This was love in action. If there is someone that you don't agree with, you should go talk to them one-on-one. You should be humble if someone approaches you and says, hey, you said this and I didn't quite understand it, or I didn't think that it agreed with Scripture here, and let's talk about it. We as Christians need to be careful of the way that we act because others are listening. Look at what Apollos does. He doesn't make it an issue and try to get people to his side versus their side. He's humble. He's willing to listen. They took him aside. Now, the correct translation, I'm not sure why verse 26 says Aquila and Priscilla. All other translations, it's only the New King James. It's a terrible translation in that verse. But all other translations really say Priscilla and Aquila. So it seems like Priscilla, the wife, had a lot to do in correcting and even teaching Aquila, who was in error. So ladies, it is so important for you to know your Bibles. Don't just think, well, that's my husband's job. And men, you, it's important for you to know what the scriptures say, so you can watch out for your family. But as Priscilla and Aquila are talking with Apollos, they're a team. Look at the importance of being a team as a husband and wife. They're a team of teachers. And they saw an opportunity to talk to Apollos. They approached him in the right way, and he was mighty humble, and he was willing to learn. In verse 26, it says, they explained the way of God more accurately to him. So he was willing to learn, to listen to the explanation, to hear what they were saying. And in verse 27, as Aquila listens, and as we see them working together, the implied words would lead us to understand that he did change his views. He did change his thinking. Verse 27, we see Apollos not being discouraged that he was corrected, not throwing a tantrum, but he was immediately evangelistic. Verse 27, and when he desired to cross to Achaia,
The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, and when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. We see Apollos teaching in the synagogue, being corrected, and now turning right around and going to help others. He had already reached out to the synagogue, and now he's going to go somewhere else where the church needs help. You see, Ephesus had Aquila and Priscilla, and he sees an opportunity to go to Achaia, which is the city of Corinth, basically, and to help there. And so he wants to be useful. He wants to be evangelistic. And so he reached out to the church there in Ephesus. It says in verse 27, he desired to cross to Achaia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. They wouldn't receive him if he was still teaching in error. They receive him because he changed what he was teaching. And now he teaches the way of God more accurately. And so he reaches out to the church in Ephesus, and they accept him. It says they wrote him a letter to take back to Corinth. And that's where Priscilla and Aquila are from, is in Corinth. So we see him being mighty evangelistic, even though he's corrected, even though he had to change his views. And we also see him, in verse 27, being mighty helpful. In verse 27, notice it says, and when he desired to cross, there's no break. Sometimes when we're corrected and we find out we're wrong, we want to stop, we want to back off. There was a confrontation. I need to just take a break for a while. I need to back off. I need to regroup. And in 3 or 4 months or 3 or 4 years, I'll get back to it. Apollos did not take a break. He was humble. He learned the truth and he got busy. He says, well, if this is the truth, I'll go share it with others. And he was mighty helpful. He didn't take a break. He did what he could do. It says in verse 27, he goes over to Corinth. And in verse 27, at the end, it says, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. He was helpful. He did what he could do. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, but he did what he could do. So I want you to think about Apollos and such a great example. That sometimes when there's a correction that has to take place, we don't stop and give up in our faith. We do what we can do. We perhaps take the correction and move forward with a good attitude. And do what you can do. And I realize not everybody can be a song leader. Not everybody can lead a public prayer. Not everybody can teach Bible class. Not everybody can weed eat around the church building. But what can you do? Apollos did what he could do. And it says he was very helpful. He greatly helped those. Look, if you do what you can do, it will help other people. It will help the Lord's kingdom. Also in verse 28, another great quality that Apollos had. He was mighty strong. He was mighty strong. Notice in verse 28 it said, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. You see, before he didn't know that Jesus was the Christ. Now he knows Jesus is the Christ. He didn't know Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised, and now he knows. He didn't know about Jesus' church, and now he knows about it. And he decided, now that I know this information, I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to be strong in my faith. He was strong in his outreach. He didn't sit at home and woe is me. He was strong in his faith. He vigorously went in. He vigorously defended the faith. He stood for his faith. What do you stand for? Do you stand for your faith? Or are you standing for your parents' faith that's not really yours? It has to be your faith. It can't be your parents' faith. It can't be your grandparents' faith. It has to be your faith. And Apollos took this to heart. It was his faith, and he was going to defend what he saw in the scriptures. He was strong in his outreach. He was strong in his reputation. In verse 28, he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly. He was willing to take a public stand for his faith. It's easy to be a Christian when nobody challenges you. It's easy to be a Christian when everybody agrees with you. It's hard to be a Christian when you're the only one at the place where you work that believes in not talking in foul language and saying a prayer and treating people with kindness. It's hard to be a Christian a lot of times. No doubt it was hard for Apollos. He was willing to live his faith out in the open. He took a public stand for his faith. He saw the evidence that was given to him from Priscilla and Aquila. He was strong in receiving that evidence, and he was strong in presenting that evidence to others. Look at verse 28. He vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He wasn't just a good speaker that could entertain crowds, although I bet he could. He was eloquent in the way he spoke. But what was so powerful was not his personality, his charisma, his storytelling. What was so powerful was he showed from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He presented the evidence, and he let people make their decision. Apollos, what I love about him, of all these qualities that we've looked at this morning, of all these qualities, he was someone who was strong in his faith. Think about your faith. Though it can be challenged at times, though it may need to be corrected at times, will you be strong in your faith? Jesus has now gone. He's not gone from us completely. He says, I will be with you always, but physically we can't see him with our eyes. You go into the bar and you don't look around and there he is sitting on the bar stool and you turn around and go back because I shouldn't be there. And so not seeing Jesus physically, some people tend to fall down in their faith. But can Jesus count on you? He could count on Apollos. Can he count on you? He can count on you. If you'll stand up and say, I'm not going to have my faith in the dark. I'll be a Christian always, even out in public. I won't shrink back. I will move forward. There are so many ways you can be strong in your faith. When we look at Apollos, he was someone who was strong and had so many mighty qualities. And there's people in your life that have mighty qualities that have influenced you. Well, can you be someone that's mighty in your faith that can influence others? You can. You can do it. And perhaps today we simply ask for strength and ask for the prayers of the congregation. And when we sing the invitation song, maybe that's when you come forward and say, you know what? I want to be a better example. I want to be a good influence to others. I haven't been doing as good as I could have been, and so I want to do better. Maybe that's how you respond to today's lesson. Or perhaps today you respond to today's lesson by reaching out to those people in your life who have made an impact, who have been mighty in your life. And you reach out to them with a card, a call, a text, a Facebook message, and you say, I thank you for the impact you've had on my life. Thank you for the faith that you've helped me to gain. You can be strong. You can impact others. When we look at Apollos, he impacted others. And as we offer the invitation, of course, we'll be looking in 2 weeks in Acts chapter 19, and this topic about John's baptism will come back. So don't forget it. We'll look at it in 2 weeks. But today I want you to think about, you know, maybe there's things that we thought we knew, and then we look at Scripture and we realize, I didn't know what I thought I knew. That's what happened to Apollos. You're not alone in those situations. The challenge is, what do you do with the information that you have? The information that we have is that we have to be buried with Christ in baptism so that we can rise to walk in newness of life. You see, the water is just water. The water itself has no power, but it's in the water that we are buried with Christ. It's an act of obedience, a physical act with spiritual significance. It washes away our sin, unites us with Christ, and at that point, God adds us to the church. So perhaps today, you've been religious, but perhaps wrong. That's what Apollos was. And perhaps today, we're willing to listen to correction. And when we're corrected, do we act like Apollos? We just turn around and just get right to work? Or do we take a couple years off? Maybe it's time to get back to work. Can we be mighty like Apollos? If we can pray with you and for you in any way, we want to serve you. Let us know how we can help you as we stand and sing the invitation song.